Okay, we need to snuggle up right next to each other.
Talk me into it.
Uh-oh.
It's a disco.
Whoa, that was very effective. Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to Pork Therapy.
Oh my god, we've started.
Oh my god, I don't think I'm ready. Are you ready?
Sure.
Well,
so this is
we're
a
gonna get it whether we like it or not.
This is a very special episode.
You said it, Mike, finally.
And this time I meant
I'm vindicated.
And I can define why it's special. Because Amy, in fact, it's on Amy's bed, as
exactly,
far as I understand.
That's
her butt
true.
Was right here.
Oh my god, it's special. We should build erect a shrine.
Let's make
erect something.
You said erect.
Mike, get up so I can feel the spot.
Yeah, you feel the spot anyway.
Oh, well, we're off to a great start already.
So the reason this episode is special is because we're at the Free State Project's Liberty Forum in New Hampshire.
Woo! And we have a huge wow, that was a very enthusiastic. See, our peanut gallery always has a good time when they're in the same room as us. Wasn't that right, Mike?
Sure.
Yeah, you agree.
And so we have quite a large audience, which is really rare to have any audience.
Really cool. Yeah, because nobody listens to us anyway.
That's
so
right.
Why would they want to listen live? They don't even listen when we're recorded.
We can't actually, except for that shout just now, we can't actually prove there's an audience because there'll be dead silence when I ask, does anybody have a question?
Crickets chirping. Yeah.
Why have you gone this long?
What is the sound of
yeah, who knows?
The sound of one hand clapping. And for those, it's not a video podcast, but that was a, well, it's too retarded to even describe. We won't even attempt it. So
one hand clap.
Yeah.
It was two, it was just some Mike and I melding together in our pork therapy
so,
anyway, so
we had some ideas for a couple.
We don't really know what we're talking about tonight.
Well,
we
haven't talked about anything yet. Yeah.
I guess it's not different. What is pork therapy?
What is pork therapy?
Joan
in
the
pork
gallery.
In the pork gallery. In the peanut gallery.
Well,
hey, peanut gallery, I'm going to ask you to talk a little bit louder than normal because we have a cheap-ass studio. So what was the question?
Shitty audio quality as usual.
What is pork therapy?
What is pork therapy?
Well, I think pork therapy is a way to bring about a voluntary society by improving people's communication skills and helping, helping each
that's
other
like deep. I
develop
it was just,
relationships.
I would have defined it slightly differently. Two people who think they know everything talking about it.
And talk for 30 minutes
about
bullshit.
About nothing.
Pork therapy is a relationship show from a liberty perspective.
Yes, thank you, and that was heaven.
On other people's beds.
On other people's beds.
We're bed hoppers.
I like it.
Well, we're getting off topic here. We erect a lot of things on pork therapy, but distractions are definitely one of them. So, well, the reason we started this show was basically just to have a good time and to be entertaining.
And it has been fun.
But in the meantime, it's evolved into answering your questions and giving you relationship advice from a liberty perspective. And that's kind of unusual because a lot of the advice shows out there that deal with relationships are kind of more from a status perspective or maybe a, you know, liberal perspective, and they'll tell you to do things like call the cops when you have a stalker, or you know, if your neighbor's playing their music too loud, call the cops. Well, we won't tell you to do that, right, Mike?
Not necessarily, but we'll find out about one of those today.
Yeah, I guess we will, because we were planning to actually talk about stalkers tonight, and
actually, well, hold on a sec. You just said that you were talking about advice shows, and I just don't like the word advice, at least.
I know you don't like the word advice.
I'm not advising any of you to...
Get real. You're giving advice.
I'm giving my opinion. And if you don't follow it, you're a fool, but it's just an opinion.
You're a fool. That's right. Well said, Mike. Always the articulate one. Well, yeah, maybe we're not giving you real advice.
Will you guys take anything from the peanut gallery as far as suggestions? I have a very timely concern about relationships.
Oh, yes?
That you might be interested in. My daughter is getting married.
Okay.
All right.
That is a problem.
Yes.
Big
problem.
I met the you know, betrothed, and I'm happy with Adam. He's a great guy. I am concerned about them having a further relationship with the state in their getting married, and I am trying to convince them to choose their own way to marriage and avoid being, you know, asking permission asking permission from the state to do so. And I, you know, I've been kind of looking on the web for stuff to send them, and and I had a conversation with them because they came up, and I met my future son-in-law just 2 weeks ago, and we went skiing. We had a great weekend. Everybody got along. I brought my son and his girlfriend up as well, so they aren't worried about that because they're just living together, and I'm happy with that. That's super.
So the question is,
yeah.
So how do we convince some younger people that might be not completely engaged in the liberty mindset to think about avoiding getting connected with the state in this manner?
Well, my advice
that's
is
a great question.
Just kidding.
You can never really tell Mike. Never really take anything Mike says seriously.
You asked me a couple of weeks ago, and I gave you my answer. And you're like, don't ask the state.
All right. Well, this is a great question because, you know, a lot of people want to make a commitment to each other, and, you know, whatever form that may take, maybe marriage or maybe some kind of a commitment ceremony or something like that. Mike keeps getting text messages.
I'm beeping.
Full of beeps and buzzes. Ding dong, the witch is dead.
But I think that would be a good question to ask the person you want to make a commitment to is, who else do you want in this commitment?
Yeah, because when you get a state marriage, there are three people involved. And
no,
it's the,
three
you know,
entities.
The three entities, right. Well, there can't be three people because they won't allow that, right?
That's right.
They won't allow more than two people. They won't allow...
Only two
in
specific
most cases,
people, right.
A man and a man or a woman and a woman.
Of certain ages, I'm sure,
and
et cetera,
yeah,
et cetera.
They have to be certain ages. And that's just where it begins. I mean, there are all kinds of other qualifications and hoops that you have
yeah,
to jump
like
through.
Blood tests, if that
yeah, you
still
have to
exists.
Get a syphilis no. test in some cases. No. Syphilis has been dead for like 20 years.
The government isn't dead, though.
Yeah,
actually,
no, that would be nice.
Until 1986, New Hampshire, you did not have to get a marriage license through the state.
Really?
Really.
Hmm.
1986.
Excellent.
Yeah, well, that would be interesting.
It was a common law marriage. There was no blood test involved.
Yeah, that would be good if that was still the case, but it
yeah.
seems like it's not
so
now.
My daughter is, and her soon-to-be married is in Florida. They've lived in Orlando. So
I mean, despite whether or not there's a law, which there shouldn't be,
right.
the question is, or the topic is, how do you...
Men should not be involved in marriage.
Yeah.
That might be what I would have said.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what most of us here think. But the question is, like, how do you... express that and maybe get them to think about the consequences of inviting the state to be a party in their marriage.
Right.
Right? You said that the people are not necessarily really of the liberty mindset. And, I mean, if that's the case, then,
well,
you know, maybe...
You could
explain what the entity, other entities involved, i.e. the government, is going to add to the relationship. Well, they will add some fees. You have to pay to get married. You'll have to pay if you ever break up.
Yeah.
If you ever do want to change or end your relationship, it'll take months. You have to fill out their paperwork.
Yes, and
you might have to hire lawyers.
You're subjected to their terms and conditions oftentimes if
right.
you know.
One of the partners can use the state to try to fuck over the other partner.
Right.
That's right.
One of the partners, if there's a divorce, can use the state against the other person to take children, to take property, to take money.
Yeah.
Common law marriage is the way to go.
Now, the
it's
people themselves...
contract between two people. Has nothing to do
that's
with
what it
state.
Should be, yeah.
That's what it should be, yeah.
The people who aren't of a liberty mindset might also throw out, well, the government does offer some benefits to a marriage,
no.
like...
Right, I was just
if
about
you
to
let
say
me
that,
finish
Mike.
My thought for a minute, though.
Yeah.
The people who aren't into liberty might say, well, if I get married, the government will allow me to use my wife's insurance or to be
right.
the...
Can I tell you something?
Not yet.
No.
To be the... guardian of my children or other benefits of a relationship. Not benefits, but other things that, because of government force in other industries, it allows them what seem like benefits. And so that might be their argument.
Right.
Do you realize that insurance never asks for a marriage license?
Actually, they do.
They don't. They don't.
They've done.
Oh, trust me.
Well, there's some dispute.
Wait, we have a fight in the peanut gallery.
Yeah, the fist swinging yet? Honestly, if you sign up to be on somebody's insurance policy, they never ask you for your marriage license.
Except
okay.
when well, they do, but go on.
Yes.
It may actually depend on what kind of insurance you're talking about, but regardless of that, people sometimes cite these so-called benefits as reasons why they would want to have the state
right.
as a party to their marriage. And, I mean, I think you can kind of debunk that by saying, saying, well, what are these benefits? They seem, like, people always cite these benefits. First of all, they seem kind of nebulous. And second of all, are they really what they are all cracked up to be, right? Are you going to get insurance if you get married? I mean, and do you want to deal with that? Like, the state forcing whatever employer to give your spouse health insurance? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you could also, in addition, you point out all the force that's involved, right?
Yeah, so and it, that's really the central issue in any of
for
this.
For that
the
matter,
state
you
is
could.
A party to your marriage.
Right, I mean, whether or not insurance is allowed, you know, get some kind of benefit for marriage or taxes or whatever, you could point out the force behind it in that, well, your employer might not want to give your wife or your husband insurance. But they have to. They have no choice. They have to spend more money on you because the government tells them to.
Right.
So
and
is that what you want?
Maybe that's less money that they would use to pay your
right.
salary.
Your salary might be higher.
Hire an assistant to help make your job easier.
So,
but that may not
that's
convince
just
them.
That's just an example. Would,
yeah.
I have a negative example.
Okay.
A year after Ian and I got married, we got a tax bill of $1,000 more than before we than if we had not been married. We tried it both
so the,
ways.
So the taxes
were
joint,
were more when yeah. we did when we filed as a married joint couple.
Yeah, so some people cite that as another benefit of getting a government marriage.
That one's harder to in my opinion, to
yeah,
argue because taxes are so hard for people to understand.
And they
staff.
Shouldn't exist in the
I
first
have,
place.
Yeah. I have one that's sort of even like that. Once you file jointly, you have a joint tax liability. I am willing to not pay taxes. But my legal wife would go to jail if I refused to. Like Ed and Elaine Brown, they had the joint.
That's actually a good way to put it because even if you know they both wanted to file or both didn't want to, yeah, both wanted to file. Maybe they wanted to file differently or you know claim different things, and you can't do that if you do the marriage joint filed thing.
Yeah. So how do you go about persuading them that, you know, those benefits, so-called benefits,
good smack upside the
aren't
head.
Really worth it? I don't think a smack upside
doesn't
the
that solve
head
everything?
Very persuasive, Mike.
Solution,
Mike.
Maybe the bottom?
Yes.
How about
smack on the bottom?
How about
I like
giving
that idea.
Them examples of people who have done it and have had no problems and
excellent.
Have been successful, that it has been done many times among liberty-minded people.
Or, yeah, absolutely.
Suggesting to those people that they talk to, other, to people who have actually
oh, examples
done
of people who have gotten married
without
involving
yes, exactly.
the state.
As a matter
yeah,
of fact, you could mention different ways it could be done, too.
You know, Mike, do you remember last summer we went to a wedding together? And that was not a state wedding. That they actually signed a Quaker marriage certificate.
I didn't even know that. So
yeah.
that's,
they
I mean, I think it's great, but that's like an example of why there's no reason to involve the government. Some people wouldn't even know.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So,
marriage.
Some people probably,
contract.
We should talk about, some people probably
right.
face
contract.
Pressure from their families, right, to get a state marriage because, I don't know, sometimes, I don't know.
It, yeah, it
like
could
sometimes
certainly happen.
People's families might pressure them to do that. They want, you know, want legal protection or something like that for their
Or it's just
members.
The way it's always been done. And
or it's a tradition.
Yeah.
It's some kind of a, yes?
As the originator of this concern and the person with the problem, I want to know more about the Quaker thing. I would, you know, they. I know they have a religious minister that is going to perform the ceremony, and I suggested to them that they would ask that person, you know, do they have any option of performing the ceremony without the state's power? I wrote last night. I was on. And I was responding because I was paying for their flight to, for their honeymoon in Hawaii.
Well, I mean, that
and,
might
and,
be one
and,
thing you
and,
could
and
use
and
as
said,
leverage, actually.
You know, and I said, you know, okay, you guys, you know, I paid for this. Now you better look into this because I am really concerned about this particular issue.
I don't know and, about the laws regarding whether religious officials... need state licensure for marriages, but
in some states it's illegal to perform a marriage without a marriage certificate.
Okay, so that makes it hard for him.
Right.
About 2 years ago, one of my brothers got married, or was going to get married, and he asked me if I would like to officiate his marriage because he didn't want an official state marriage, although he backed down on that.
Oh.
So I told him, yeah, I'd love to. Thanks for thinking of me. That's very creative. And then he told me in his state, which was Virginia, all I had to do was sign one little piece of paper, i.e. a license for Virginia to allow me to marry him, and I said, no, I won't do that.
Uh-huh.
And actually, I'm opposed to marriage for other reasons, so I told him that, and he had a big fit. But he ended up having someone religious perform his marriage, but they did sign some kind of state agreement. Now, yeah. he doesn't really give a shit about the state uh-huh. or anything, but he did it.
Yeah.
I don't know what benefit he derived from marrying her instead of mm-hmm. loving her with a, you know, custom commitment between the two of them.
Yeah.
But he wanted to do it.
Well, I mean, like, there are several reasons to be opposed to government marriage on philosophical grounds. Like, one of them, as we mentioned, is the force involved. But another one, maybe, is that you feel that the state discriminates against people. Like, they...
That's a good point.
They will not allow, for instance, many states will not allow homosexual couples to get married. And they won't yeah. allow multiple people to marry each other. They
and in the past, they have not allowed mixed race marriages. Yes. That's where licensure
that's
came in.
Marriage license. Of marriage yeah. licensure. It was to prevent interracial marriages. Yeah. That's an atrocity, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the whole...
So why would you
it's
want
It's rotten
this,
to the core.
Yeah, why would you want... Yeah, it's another way
why
to point
Why would you
want out.
To invite the state into
I don't know what this marriage. Has to do... It is all true, but I don't know what it has to do with the Quakers or the religious...
Well
I'm saying that if
those
the
arguments
woman
might
that
appeal
they
to
have
them.
Yeah. chosen, the woman they have chosen what is not, you know, amenable to joining them under their own agreement... Then maybe they could go to a Quaker.
A different one.
Mm-hmm.
And
so there
and
may be
the Quakers. I mean, we're all about peace, you know. If, yeah, how can you uh-huh. argue with a Quaker
well,
position?
Someone
yeah.
in this room is married. At least someone in this room right now is married without a state marriage. Isn't that correct?
Yeah.
And who officiated it?
It was a pastor or a reverend or some sort of religious person. It was in Utah, though. And Utah's very. Common lodge
okay.
common law marriage friendly, so there's
so
only
actually,
a handful of states.
This is a possible workaround.
Yeah.
Might be expensive, but I believe if you're married in any one of the states, all the other states have to recognize it. So fly to Utah, have a religious
or
whomever
Oklahoma,
officiate it without a state license, then fly back.
Yeah, you don't even have to be a resident.
That's
there you
that
go.
Is a,
yeah.
that is an extreme example of accommodating a bad situation.
I see your point, but I'm not sure I agree.
I'm saying that you just
You pay your taxes, and that's a horrible workaround for getting your house stolen.
Yeah,
but you do
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
so if
yeah,
you want to be married for some reason without the state,
yeah.
that's one way.
Well, right. I don't understand why you don't just go forward, set up your contract, and do
yes.
what you want to do.
Right, but what
where
if
no matter what jurisdiction you're in,
yeah.
no matter what they say...
Well,
I mean,
you would do that, apparently, your son, your daughter...
My daughter.
Daughter wouldn't, apparently, or at least not yet.
Well, I mean, they actually were open to the discussion when I first brought it up.
Okay.
So I'm trying to keep it an open thing, and I, you know, one of the things I said was, who is the power in the world? Who is, you know, when you're getting married, who's important? You, my daughter Nicole and Adam, they are the two that are giving the power. To the person joining them, or beyond that, the families, beyond that, the people who have bothered to share the experience with them at the wedding. Those people are the important individuals there. The state is what? Nothing.
Well, yes, but we know this, and if they don't, if they think, well, of course the state's nothing, but they're just on a piece of paper, it doesn't really matter. Then they're still doing it, and that's what you've...
I actually found a website that's called The 5 Reasons Christians Should Not Get a Marriage License. And I'm not a religious person. You know, I like some of the things of Christianity, but I am a basically an atheist. And I but what was in this document, I sent them a link to it. It was great. It was a... it was... really practical things about, you know, what's bad about marriage.
And I think in any persuasive situation, I think it really helps to appeal to the interests and particularities of the person that you're trying to persuade, right? Because they'll listen more to your arguments if they already have an interest. Like, if she was a Christian, she might listen to these ideas, like, from a Christian standpoint, why would you not want to involve the state in your marriage? So it's like, you know, take, if you're trying to persuade, then just take the person's own interests. And I think, you know, I think, have we answered your question?
Wow, you guys have really brought a lot to it, and I'm really
wow.
appreciate it.
Excellent.
Wow.
That's better than usual.
Yeah.
Usually we have
if,
nothing to add
I don't,
of any substance.
I, you know, I think the answer to the question are in the heads of Adam and Nicole.
Yeah.
And,
yes. More talking.
And all we can do is contribute to them.
That's
if, right. If this audio is available, I will make sure that they listen to it.
Absolutely.
There is... someone in, there is someone in the peanut gallery who has been in the peanut gallery before and who has had advice or opinions that I really admire or have admired and has never spoken them until after the recording has stopped, so I'm going to ask him specifically what his opinion is. Have any thoughts? Any opinions?
Yeah, the thing that's occurring to me is that if you decide to have a common law marriage, even if it's with a Quaker ceremony, as soon as the state calls it a marriage, even if it's because you've lived together for 7 years, the state is still in there. So you haven't really got rid of them.
Well, what if you... What if you
see any way to get around it except to not use the M-word.
Well,
as soon as you call it a marriage, even if it's common law or you say we're treating it as a marriage...
That is a good point.
But how does the state know that you've lived together for 7 years?
One of the ways that happens, though, is that having been together, one party decides to leave, the other party then invokes the state and says, no. Uh-huh. This is where, you know, palimony cases come from. This is where you get cases of people who agree not to be married, and yet one of them changes their mind. So one of the problems with trying to get around what the state can do is the state can change what the rules are at any time.
That's what they're known for.
Absolutely. But at least you're not explicitly begging them permission. Yeah.
Right. I think that would be the nuance, if I can interrupt for a second. If you get a marriage license, you're saying, come here, government.
Yes.
And if you don't and go about these other means, then maybe the government will try and say, you have a marriage. And you could say, fine, say that and go about your business.
They might, but one of the original points was that in a marriage, one of the parties can invoke the state and bring
and
the
state.
And
that's still
in.
The case.
That's still the case.
Yeah.
You can't get away from that unless you are.
It's a mindset.
You have to go through great lengths to say we are not married.
Anymore.
We are not married. We're never going to be
married.
We don't have joint property. You can't do any of the things that married couples do.
Otherwise, they'll claim it.
Yes.
The government will claim it.
Yeah. My thought about it is you can hope to get away from this, but you really can't because there are no fixed rules, right?
Well, that's true, but you could also take steps like don't get the license, then when government claims something, try and ignore it as long
right.
as you can because
yeah.
you've done what you can
in
a forceful society.
Or at least try to dispute
it.
If there's an explicit piece of paper that says, I agree to these terms
right.
and conditions
right.
of the state, then it's harder to dispute than,
right.
This person says that I lived with her for 7 years, but I didn't really, and we weren't in a relationship.
Right.
We were just
get
roommates
a box.
Or whatever.
Say, no, I live there.
There are provisions in the constitutions that say that the government shall not interfere with the contract.
And they obey their constitution so well.
Of course they never do. The fact is that you talk about what they go ahead and do, you can fall back on the limitations that are prescribed in the documents that form them and say, we are sovereign, we choose what we want.
Absolutely, you can do that, but by calling it a marriage contract or referring it to it in any way as a marriage, they get to decide what constitutes a marriage. You can simply say, we're setting up a cohabitation
or
contract.
Or he's my roommate.
We're setting up a child-raising contract.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're setting up whatever contracts we feel like doing and making that
property-sharing contract
clear that it's not in the context of a marriage. I just think anything you do that, if it looks like a marriage and it quacks like a marriage, it is a marriage, right?
Well, marriage existed before governments did.
Yeah, but they've
I don't think that's
possible.
Well, they've
co-opted
possible.
It, but we don't have to allow
when
them
did governments
to do that.
Not exist?
We have to call it something else.
In cavemen?
No, we don't. No, we don't.
Marriage, club, drag.
We are the sovereigns. We are the superior agent in the arrangement.
Sure.
We can let them do
we're
that
veering,
to us.
Whoa. Right. We're veering off topic. Well, we might start another pork therapy on sovereign individuality, but
we have too many peanuts speaking at once.
The last thing I would say is that one of the things when you talk about a contract in a common law marriage is a contract. The thing about contracts is you try as hard as you can to be unambiguous. And one of the things about a marriage contract, quote-unquote, is it's incredibly ambiguous. The rules differ from state to state. Nobody really knows what the rules are until two people show up
disagree
in court.
Disagree
and then
fight,
some judge
make a precedent.
Makes up the rules.
And there should be no
so a contract, if you want
that's
a contract,
right.
make a contract, spell everything people out don't. The way you would if you were buying a 747 or starting a business or doing any other thing that you would use a contract for.
It does,
that would be
it does
my
seem,
suggestion for getting around it.
I completely agree. But it does seem unromantic.
Yes, it does, absolutely.
But it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have
to be. Going to the stupid-ass courthouse to get the marriage. Sure, yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. Good point. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. Right.
So there's the argument and the counter-argument right there.
The reason they're getting married is not for the romance. They have the romance. They're looking for some kind of
officiality, yeah.
They're looking for some kind of... Yeah. Something.
That's true.
You know, you want a contract? Yeah. Write a contract, and then it becomes clear that what you're doing is following this contract. Yeah.
Actually, they write a contract anyway. I do promise, blah, blah, blah. So make it more official.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that would be...
Or more clear.
They're asking for a social and family endorsement to their union.
Which they can get in a greeting card.
And I think that,
and on that note,
I think that's a good note to end on.
Thank you all for participating.
And you can find us on the web at porktherapy.com.
If our website was working.
Yeah, well, it'll be working by the time we release this, or else we won't be able to get it out.
That's right, or else you won't be listening to this. So,
so that's porktherapy.com. And you can find us on Facebook. Just join the group Pork Therapy to get our lovely email updates. And don't forget... tomorrow is going to be a pretty busy day for Mike, but I know at the end of the day he's going to come home and he's going to have no plans. So I think you should email him at Mike at porktherapy.com and ask him out on a date.
I recommend it.
I highly recommend it. And if you have a question, you can email us at questions@porktherapy.com.
Or you can call us at 419- PT Love 4. And you can record your question.
Or you can ask us to marry you, but don't expect us to say yes.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Peanut Gallery.